Hey, happy first Sunday of Advent. Is that alarming or is that good to hear? It's both, right? We're starting a new series called Logos through Advent, and I'm excited to go through John, the first 14 verses with you guys. My name is Kevin, and me giving you my name is called an introduction. And I think it's what you might want to know about me if you don't know me at this moment. It seems like it might be enough for now. But if I told you some things about me before every time I spoke, you might think it was a bit odd. Like if I said, my name's Kevin, I have brown eyes, or brown hair, and I love getting caught in the rain. You would think, this is kind of a weird introduction, right? This is a weird way to introduce someone. Might be kind of weird. Because an introduction gives the information that needs to be given to a specific audience in a specific context. When we lived in Vancouver, a friend of mine was pastor of a very small church, and he asked me if I wanted to speak one day, and I thought, well, this would be a good thing for me to do, because I haven't spoken that much. I was in seminary, and I thought, this would be good. Yeah, I'll go out, and I'll speak at this church. So I go there that Sunday. There's about 40 people there, very small congregation, and I sit down, and I know that everyone's looking at me. You ever been in that kind of place? You go to a worship service and you feel like everyone's looking at you? If you haven't recently, you should try it. It'll give you some empathy for people that don't come to worship gatherings much. It's a really awkward kind of thing. So I sit down and I know they all saw me, and it was kind of like, hey, there's a new guy here today. So the MC, they do a couple songs, you know, and the MC gets up and he says, are there any guests today? And everyone kind of turns and looks at me with their head on a swivel. And I know that he knew the answer to that question. So I kind of smiled and put my hand up. And he says, well, welcome. And everyone stood up on cue as soon as he said that. And they started singing, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We love you, love you, love you. And it was the weirdest thing. I thought, this is just the worst thing ever. Like, why are they doing this? And I still remember it, maybe not perfectly, but their intent was to welcome. I know that, but it was really awkward. And I promise you, we will never do that. I got to amen with that. Today, our first Sunday of Advent, we are looking at an introduction. And it's an interesting introduction. It's an introduction to Jesus. It's an introduction that many of us have heard and might be old news to us. But it's an introduction that has stood the test of time as one of the most profound, one of the most successful, informative introductions in the history of introductions. This is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That's quite an introduction, isn't it? That's my fault. I told them New Living and I changed my mind, but that'll work later because I'm going to use that version. It's quite an introduction. It's not quite a welcome song. I don't know how you'd capture that in the Bible, but still, it is a bit odd, isn't it? It's a bit odd. It's an odd way to introduce someone. What's his name? Word. When was he around? In the beginning. Yep. He was there already. Who does he hang out with? God. He's with him. They're together. Who is he? Well, he's God. He hangs out with God, but he also is God. How does he exist? He existed with God in the beginning. He existed in all time, before all time. It's quite an introduction. This is how the Apostle John decided to describe Jesus to people who had not heard of him before, people who had no idea who he was or didn't know much about him. Those are the first words of the book that tell us about Jesus. He's the pre-existent Word that is God, but also hangs out with God, who he is. I'm sure that would get their attention. Now, why this type of introduction? It's not normal, really, is it? All this word stuff, all this pre-existent stuff. Why this introduction? Why are these things important, and what do they mean? One of the problems we always run into when we try to explain complex things, things that go way beyond the capacity of people to fully understand, is that we need to use words that we understand. And the words we use need to be words that have meaning to the people that hear them. It's difficult. I mean, it's no use using words people don't understand, even if they are some good words that explain something. It's no use using concepts that people can't grasp, even if they're good concepts, to explain something that they won't get. It's like that with introductions, too. When we introduce someone, we give the people the information that suits the context, the right information. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written to testify, to share, to introduce people to the good news about this Messiah, the Messiah that defied categorization and language. They were making an introduction. And these are actually best thought of as missionary books. They're books to share the story and the news of God's radical welcome. So here in John 1, we're greeted with these words. In the New Living this time, cue it up. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. Words about a word. Talk about a bit of a mind bender. Not just words about a word, but words about the Word who is the Word. The Word above all words. Interesting way to start the book. Now, ever wonder why he started the book this way? We know the writer wanted to share some news. He wanted to testify to who Jesus was and is. He wanted people to get enough of a picture to realize the difference it makes that Jesus came. So he chooses his words carefully. Traditionally, this section in John, verses 1 to 14, is known as the prologue. But that's maybe even a bit misleading, because actually, most scholars think that this was written after the rest of the book was written and placed at the beginning. And you can almost imagine this, that the writer, the one who wants to tell about Jesus, finishes work and thinks, that's not enough. I need to add more. I just can't capture enough about him. I can't say enough. So he comes back and he adds these touches onto the beginning of the book, anticipating these questions from his readers. Okay, we've heard about his life. We've heard about the stuff he did. Pretty cool, right? So what, was he a prophet? A great man? A Messiah type? What was he? Who was Jesus? Who was he? He seems like more. Tell me more. So the beginning of the book, the prologue, gets written after to fill in the picture. And we get this. He is the Word. Oops. Now, where did that come from? Did that fall off my sleeve? I don't think so. It just kind of fell. It's amazing. He is the Word who was there in the very beginning. Actually, he was always there with God, and he is God. Pretty significant words. And I think the significance might be lost on us a bit. We think it's cool, it's poetic, it's kind of clever. But the time we've read these words, we've read so much else about who Jesus is that we fail to feel the full impact of these words, like the first readers felt that full impact of who Jesus is. If we look at the other four Gospels, they introduce Jesus differently. They make the introduction differently. Mark does it really abruptly. He only mentions that it was foreshadowed in the words of the ancient prophets. And Matthew starts with a genealogy, starting way back with Abraham, the genealogy from Abraham onward. And Luke starts even further back with Adam. And John, it seems, didn't think this was far enough back, so he goes back even further. Before Abraham was, before Adam was, the Word was. Before anything, God was. Before time, God was. Here's where I think it gets even more interesting, both for us and for the original readers. This revealing Word is not just an abstract concept. So the claim of John is that this revealing Word is a person. The Word is He, Jesus. The person who this whole book is about, testifying about, He, Jesus, is the one with God from the beginning and is God. This is who the whole book is about. Introducing Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Word, the pre-existent Word, friends with God, also is God, in the beginning. That's quite a list. We're just beginning. The list is going to grow in the series. Have you ever heard an introduction to someone who was world-class? I went to a seminar a while ago, and there was this lady introducing this guy named Alistair McGrath. And I thought, this could be interesting, because she was really excited. She was keyed up. And she could barely contain herself. She was so enthusiastic about introducing Alistair McGrath. It's kind of like the introduction I get when I go places. She was so impressed, so happy to have him, so happy to be in his company, that this enthusiasm spread to the audience. It is my great pleasure to introduce you today, Alistair McGrath, and we are honored to have him with us today. He is a theologian, a priest, a historian, an apologist, a scientist. He studied mathematics, chemistry, physics, theology, history, literature. This is all true, by the way. So I'm not talking about myself. He has degrees in chemistry from Oxford, a doctorate in molecular biophysics. He's written scores of books. In 2013, he was awarded his third doctorate. Oh, yeah, and he has a wife and two kids in his spare time. It's quite an introduction. And we knew we were in for something special. And this introduction was so appropriate because it was for that lecture hall at Regent College. But imagine if you were out with some friends and your friends were actually construction workers and you were out with Alistair McGrath and introduced him that way. They'd be, what? This guy's a loser. That doesn't make any sense. I bet he can't put a nail in a board. I bet he'd hit his thumb, guaranteed. These eggheads can't do anything. But it worked at Regent because the introduction was an invitation. It was an invitation into an experience with him. It was an invitation into a journey of knowledge with him. And in the same way, this introduction to Jesus is an invitation into something deeper than just history. It's an invitation into something deeper than just philosophy. The introduction claims that the subject of the story in the book of John stands behind, beyond time and space, is the author of creation, of which he has become a part. And the opening words themselves can't say this, all of this, but they do tell us that this man, the one being introduced, is like no other. And that this story, the one being introduced, is like no other. They tell us that this story has a meaning which will radically redefine and challenge our most fundamentals about what, fundamental ideas about what is, about what is creation, about what is time, about what is humanity, about what it means to exist. Above all, it means that the most fundamental of all terms has to be redefined. The word God has to be redefined. It will have to be redefined in view of the fact that he, Jesus, the man being introduced in this story, was in the beginning with God and was from the beginning, and that he is himself the Word of God. A word that not only declares things and says things, but a word that is creative and life-giving. This is Jesus. He is the Word that was and is to come. this is Jesus. He is the life, the way, and the truth behind and beyond all truth. This is Jesus who is with God and is God. What would you say if someone asked you, who is Jesus? What would you say? What would you say if someone asked you, hey, do you have any good news? Do you have any hope? Anything about living more fully? Anything about abundant life? Anything about life with meaning and purpose? What would you say? Would you have an introduction ready? An introduction to Jesus? We know what the gospel writers would say. They were interested in introducing people to Jesus. We can think of the four gospels as introductions, as missionary books. And what did they talk about? Theology? Sort of, but not really. Rules? No, not really. It was more about the emptiness of rules. Sin? Yes, but not in the way that we might talk about it. It was always about freedom and forgiveness and restoration and healing. Punishment? Not a lot. Did they have 4 points that summarized everything you need to know to be a follower of Jesus? Nope. There's no trace of that. Actually, we don't see any of the disciples using the 4 spiritual laws as a technique anywhere in the Gospels. Interesting. As a matter of fact, we don't really even know when the disciples were converted. But you know what we know and they did write about? What they did talk about? What their books were about? Jesus. What he was like. What he did. What his welcome looked like. Who was welcomed and why? And where he goes beyond what we know. They introduce the person of Jesus. What would you say if someone asked you about faith? About good news? Would you introduce them to Jesus? Would you share something good? Would you give them good news? Now, I think it's interesting and instructive what an introduction does. An introduction is an invitation. It's an invitation to something. And I think when we want to make an introduction to Jesus or to our faith, we make that introduction the way the gospel writers did. They introduced us to a person who changed everything. And sometimes we forget that the introduction is an invitation to a person. Jesus is the Word. He's the Word of God. Yet we refer to the Bible as the Word of God. And ever thought of that? It's a little confusing. What are the implications for us that Jesus is the Word? And do we worship Jesus, the Word of God? Or do we worship the words that were recorded to tell us about Jesus, the Word of God? I know it's a bit confusing. Because in many ways, it's accurate to think of the Bible as the Word of God. However, when we get right down to it, we worship the Word, Jesus. And the Bible testifies to this person. The Bible introduces us to this person. So a way we can think about this is thinking about Jesus as the Word of God, capital W. And the Bible as the Word of God, small W. And let me tell you why this is important. Why it's not splitting hairs. Why it's not just words about a word. Why it's not just a grammar check. Many of us in our faith tradition are in danger of worshiping the Bible instead of Jesus. And think about this. What did Jesus leave for us? What did the Word leave us with? He left a community of people who introduce others to the person of Jesus. The Word became flesh. The God who entered his creation to walk with and heal and love and restore and be in a relationship with us. And you know what is so amazing? We never see Jesus saying, hey, is someone getting this? Make sure you write this down. You guys need to be writing this down, okay? It's important. Actually, disciples, for I know you're fishermen, but can we actually appoint a secretary right away? Because we need to be writing this down. Jesus didn't write anything down. The Word didn't write any words himself. What a thing. You know what he did? He left a community of people to tell his story, to introduce him to other people and make introductions. Introductions that are invitations to be in relationship. Now, the problem with understanding the Bible as the capital W Word of God is that we enter into idolatry and worship the words instead of the Word. We become people of words and doctrine and dogma and judgments instead of being people of the big W Word. When we get fixated on the small W Word and almost worship it instead of being fixated on the big W Word, we forget that our introduction to our faith is an invitation. And instead of telling about the person of Jesus, we tell people things that don't seem to, like they're good news at all. We tell them lots of bad news. Our introduction matters. We need to introduce people to the person of Jesus. Our theology needs to flow out of the person of Jesus. Our theology needs to flow out of the character of God as revealed to us by the person of Jesus, as introduced to us by the gospel writers. And that introduction is an invitation. It's a pretty good one. And many Christians have been historically known as people of the book. You may have heard that. We're people of the book. That's in quotes. I'm not saying we are, but historically, people of the book. But I say it's time that we're known as people of the person. Jesus people. Sometimes it's hard to be people of faith. There are questions that remain unanswered and whose apparent answers are troubling and unsatisfying. There are struggles that come up just based on the fact that we live in a wonderful world, but also a world that is full of pain and suffering and sometimes darkness. But there is also the light. And the Word, the person of Jesus. The light is the revelation of who Jesus is. And the Word is the invitation into relationship with who God is and all that he has in store for us. An introduction is an invitation. Listen to this introduction once more. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. That introduction is an invitation. It's an invitation to goodness. It's an invitation to abundant life. It's an invitation to a new way of seeing history and the world and life. It's an invitation to a relationship. Where would you begin if someone asked you to introduce Jesus? That welcome song was pretty bad, right? But one thing was clear is that that community, even though that was so bad, they did intend to welcome me. That introduction was made to welcome me. And we had lunch after and they treated me well, and that kind of made up for an abundance of sins when you get fed. It was not far off in intent, and it understood this one thing. Introductions are invitations, and introductions are to welcome. And a little while ago, I was walking downtown, and there were these two people walking towards me. And one of the guys, honestly, he looked like he was a street person. He was probably living in the streets. And he said something to me, He said, "Why are you so happy?" But the way he said it kind of made me mad. It kind of got me defensive, and I'd like to relive this if I could, but I can't. And I just felt defensive right away because he was so aggressive in how he said it. And I said, because life is good. Maybe a really dumb answer. Life is good. That irritated him even more when I said that. It's like, what? Life is good? Come on, give me something to grab onto here. I wish I had made a different kind of introduction. Introductions like this: "Well, my name is Kevin, and I know a person who changes everything." What about that? I was kind of flat-footed there. And this Christmas, the challenge is to share God's welcome. I'd like to take that up with you guys as a church. Could we share God's welcome this Christmas? Share it by being present with people? Can we share God's welcome by listening and not condemning? Can we share God's welcome by being welcoming and not excluding? Can we share it by giving money? Can we share it by giving time and resources? Can we share it by giving hope to hopelessness? Can we share it by being agents of healing? I think we can. I believe we can. I think we're going to do it. We're going to share that welcome. You know, introductions are invitations, and I want us to understand that we are called to go and make that invitation. And it's an invitation to all that is good and pure and lovely and wonderful and healing and fulfilling. Let's go and make that. Amen.